watch the struggle, and I want you wrestling with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
Here Stadium time is 8:43 Central Daylight Time. Your digital audio device is tuned into the Orange and True podcast, Harvard by College and Magnolia.com. Ryan Starrett, at Ryan S. Starrett. The S stands for seems like we're getting close to game week.
So close, but so far away.
To the other side of me, giving you full Fort Payne ASMR, a guy who's got his own motivation, a guy who can make you smile like a drug for you, do ever what you want to do coming over you. Keep on smiling what you go through, one stop to the rhythm that divides you, the AU Chief.
Up the toffees.
Up the toffees. What a
is this a soccer thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Everton Football Club had maybe the best week Everton's had since the 80s.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, the signing of James Rodriguez from Colombia is one of the biggest coups the toffees have pulled in a long time.
They didn't pay any money for him.
Well, they're paying him money.
Yes, but it was a free transfer.
Yeah, which is incredible.
Yes.
Did you see that Tottenham Hotspur might be doing a similar deal with Gareth Bale?
Yes, possibly. Because Real's trying to get these people off their wages off the books.
They don't need them to be Barca. Barca seems like they're going to be trash next year.
It's possible. But I think they're also having some sort of financial difficulty there, as much as they can have financial difficulty. So they're trying to offload people so they can buy other people.
Sure. Makes sense. Guys, we're 2 days away from Auburn Soccer, by the way.
Yeah. Good time.
Auburn Soccer plays the Mississippi State Bulldogs. And at the time of this podcast, 2 days and 21 hours and 14 minutes, according to the Auburn website.
Nice.
And that will be on the SEC Network. That is at 6 p.m. on the 18th of Sep. And you can watch that live.
So are they just going to play a conference schedule in soccer? And that's going to be
eight games. Looking at the schedule now. It appears they're playing Mississippi State at Texas A&M, at LSU, home versus Ole Miss, at UGA, home versus Kentucky, at Arkansas, and then the Iron Bowl of Soccer to close it out here in Auburn. Not here, but there in Auburn.
Interesting.
So
that's it.
I'm assuming no fans allowed, but I mean, if you've ever been to the Auburn Soccer Complex, you can sit on the hill outside the stadium and watch,
yeah,
can't you?
Yes, there are a myriad of ways to be socially distanced and watch Auburn Soccer. So I suggest you do that. The weather's going to be nice, it looks like. So you should make it happen if you are in town.
Might still be a little bit of lingering hurricane weather. But
Nothing more soccer than standing out in the rain and watching a game.
Agreed.
Put on your Macintosh jacket or just another big overcoat.
Maybe a hoodie you got.
Stand out there in the wind. Yeah, but put on your home field apparel hoodie. Absolutely.
That'd get kind of wet, though.
The height of fashion.
Like, soak into that.
Yeah, it's a little Big Ten, right, to wear a hoodie in the rain.
Speaking of, I've got a home field shirt on right now.
Chief does.
Just show the viewers there, Chief.
Well, they can't see it. I can describe it to them. It's a picture of an Albie in a sailor hat that looks super high. And,
sure.
And says Auburn on it.
Side-eye Albie is what I call him. Here's what or satisfied Albie. That's what he kind of looks like. He's just kind of really content.
It's like he knows who the bag man is.
Exactly. Hey, guys, I have an idea. I'm going to pitch it to you two. And if you are listening to this drivel and you're like, I would like to participate live in this podcast. I'd like to watch them record it. Well, just Venmo at Son of Crow on Venmo, like $5, and I'll send you the Skype link when we record, and you can just come on and join the Skype call as it happens. I'll mute you, but you can be a part of the magic. See how it's all made, and I'll share the money with Ryan and with Chief.
See how the fudge is packed, if you will.
If you will.
No thanks.
I would love that, to start some sort of people paying us to sit here and watch this. But yeah, I think you do it. $5. $5 gets you in to live watching of the pod. That's $5.
If you'll buy Crow's drinks for the night, you can come watch.
100%. I'll send you my address. You can ship alcohol to Texas.
Oh, that's right.
You can get a drive-thru now too, can't you?
You can get it through a Taco Cabana drive-thru now. You can do it anywhere. It's hilarious.
Lucky.
Yeah, it's lawless at this point now. And as an anarchist liberal, I think it's great. I think it should be more lawless.
Sure.
Radical left. All right. I got my guillotine I'm building in the backyard right now.
How's that working out?
It's going pretty good. I got the Antifa meeting that I went to. That's what they told us to go do. The ringleader.
How do you get that blade sharp?
Well, it's just a piece of corrugated tin that I was using off a shed. It's really dangerous.
I guess you got to put enough weight behind it to make it actually work.
Absolutely. Okay. I got like 4 or 5 tetanus shots too the last couple of weeks making this happen. Just kidding, everybody. I don't talk politics to you guys. Ryan has show notes, which means we've got things to talk about. The main thing we're going to talk about today, besides the preview in Auburn, Mississippi State soccer, obviously, is we want to talk a little bit about the upcoming football match with the University of Kentucky, but mainly more in a broad sense, whereas next week we'll deep dive into the game. Today we're going to do a little bit of the depth chart preview. Is that right, Ryan?
Yeah, let's do it. So as best as we can.
But before we do that, let me get back into what happened last time Auburn soccer played in Mississippi State. The last time we played, you guys, we lost 3-2. And that was kind of the beginning of
the collapse.
The collapse. The last...
Because we were riding last, high last year and then fell off a cliff.
It's true. The longest win streak Auburn's had was between 2002 and 2010. Auburn won 9 in a row, which is unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think it looks like we haven't lost to Mississippi State 2 times in a row ever.
Okay.
So we might.
Not really the soccer powerhouse over there in Starkville.
No, we're 17-5-2 versus Mississippi State all time.
Wow.
So, and at home, Auburn is 11-0-1. But away 6-5-1. The last 10 matchups, Auburn is 7-2-1. And the largest margin of victory was 6-0 in 08.
Wow.
Yeah, that is a destruction, is what that is. 6-0. So we're playing them at home, I believe is what I told you guys. Yeah, we're playing them at home. And we've never lost to the Bulldogs, the Lady Bulldogs at home. Were they Lady Bulldogs?
That seems Ryan? Right.
I don't know. Is there a term for Lady Bulldog? I don't know.
There is, well, but I don't believe a term that for female like dog. To use it.
Yeah, I don't think they have it on the front of their jerseys.
Although,
I'd buy one if they did that right now. Gosh.
It's the mistake. Yep.
It'd be a fun one to embrace, but not one you want to, you know.
It's not one you want to be told to wear.
Yes, exactly.
Sure. Yeah, or called against your will. So today we're going to go through some roundtable articles that Chief put out and – not Chief, sorry.
Yeah.
Nerd put out.
Not me.
Chief did not do them.
Talking about Chief's writing chops here.
Nerd put them out. Nerd, and by that I mean the guy that you go to the website to read in the first place, put out a bunch of articles in the off season, this interminable off season, about basically picking out hypotheticals and answering them for each position group on the team. So we're going to go position group by position group, guess the starter. Now, Ryan, have they released a depth chart?
No, I mean, we've kind of gotten to a point where we know most of the positions, but no, nothing official yet.
I mean, who's going to be quarterback? That's the main thing, I think.
Release the cord, for the record.
Good God.
Pull the cord is the better question. It's like pulling. The second he goes in the game, that's what I'll be yelling. Pull the cord.
This is fun for me because I didn't actually participate in writing any of these, so I'll be learning some things tonight.
All right. I participated in a couple of them.
I don't get paid to write, friends.
Just to talk.
He does it for scholarship money.
Oh, yeah. Exposure, right?
Exposure.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan.
Chief extra intern, just to
start us off with the first one, which I do believe. All right,
so do you want me to go through like the depth chart itself for the position or the question regarding the position first?
I don't know, man. You're right. You wrote this.
All right. I think we'll talk about the depth chart and then I'll ask the question. So for quarterback, I think this is probably the most obvious position group. Bo Nix starting, Grant Loy, the transfer from Bowling Green. Is that right? Is going to be the backup. And then it's still a chance that Cord Sandberg wins the position. We'll see.
Ryan.
Sure.
And then the freshman, Chael Garnett.
Bo could get COVID, there. Man.
So the question we put on the site that we all kind of bandied around was, will Bo Nix throw for 3,000 yards in 2020? And for reference, that's only happened, I believe, twice in Auburn history. Damian Craig in 97 and Jarrett Stidham 2 years ago. So high mark for Auburn, at least. For other programs, 3,000 yards is maybe expected in some years. But so what do you guys think?
Well, Chad Morris runs a bit more of a pass heavy offense than maybe anything we've seen. Especially under Gus. So I think it's possible. I don't know if it's likely. I still think under Gus, we're still going to want to run the ball more than we do anything else.
Yeah. That's fair. Cause I mean, I think the running back position is going to be a lot deeper and more talented this year.
Yes.
So I'll believe it when I see it, that a Gus offense doesn't want to rely on that rushing attack. But like you said, you've got Chad Morris, definitely more of the passing background. And it's not going to take that much more for Bo to get to 3,000. Last year, he was at 2,500 as a true freshman. I don't know. I mean, I think even if his rates stay the same just by virtue of more attempts. Although, I guess we didn't factor in that this is a 10-game schedule at this point.
This right. is the thing. When this roundtable was released, we had no idea we were only going to be playing a 10-game schedule.
Right.
So now I don't think it's going to
happen. That's 300 yards a game.
Whew. Yeah, not going to happen. Yeah, well,
not counting for postseason.
Yeah, not counting postseason.
So I mean, he was just in under 200 yards a game last year.
In order for him to do it, we're going to have a postseason. Like, I mean, that's basically it.
Yeah.
Because I just, there's not a world in which I see an Auburn quarterback throwing for 300 yards a game. It's just not.
Actually going to happen is it's going to turn into 7-on-7. They're going to announce that next Friday, probably.
Okay.
That might be the only way he gets there.
Even 250 a game would be pushing it. Like I expect him to throw for about 200 a game.
I definitely think his rates will go up. I mean, he was pretty abysmal in the yards per attempt last year and the completion percentages.
He could get close to a touchdown mark. But yeah, I think a yards mark. He did 16 touchdowns last year.
Another good passing year. I mean, that'll sadly put him near the top of Auburn touchdown records.
I know. But, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking from a terms of a yard counting stat, no. But from a touchdown counting stat, I think all the counting stats are going to be way weird this year.
Yeah.
But from a touchdown counting stat, maybe. Because, I mean, what's the record for touchdown passes in a season? Is it Cam?
Cam at 30, maybe Sullivan.
I think it's Cam. And I think
Cam at 30 Todd or 20.
Todd is second, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I really – Auburn's passing and receiving records are so kind of pedestrian that I feel like, we could see a counting stat, a total stat like that of passing touchdowns.
Yeah, so it's Cam with 30 in a single season, Chris Todd at 22, Pat Sullivan and Jason Campbell and Nick Marshall all had 20.
Chris Todd, the forgotten man, the man that set like every record as a quarterback for a single season that lasted all of 11 months.
Because he was the guy that brought the offense into the 21st century.
Sure.
Quick.
So there's a decent world where Bo gets to, I mean, maybe passes his dad for career touchdowns in this season. He needs 15.
Well, what did you have, 16 last year?
16 last year over 13 games. You'd think that number would go up.
I would imagine he gets at least 16 this year in 10 games because I think he's going to be in a more pass-heavy offense and has another year of experience with these receivers. It wouldn't surprise me in the least.
Yeah, I can see it. I could see him setting, like, beating Cam's record.
Cam's 30 in a 10-game season?
Yeah. It's three a game.
Whoa.
As opposed to the 1.2 from last year?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just doubling it
up,
man.
If he sets the 30 touchdown, if he gets to that mark, he will also get to 3,000 yards. That's my prediction.
That might take, again, it might take a postseason to get him.
Right.
That takes Auburn getting a national championship, I think. He gets you to 13 games.
Move into second. He could get 23.
It's 1. Yeah, 23 is not off the table. Yeah. I don't think it's likely necessarily. But.
It's 2.3 right. game.
Let's go to running backs. We'll move quickly. So I think starter, we're picking starters, Bo Nix. We don't have to worry about selecting the depth chart.
Yeah, if anything happens where Bo Nix isn't playing, whether it's an injury or COVID or whatever, things are not looking great for Auburn at that point.
Yeah.
Okay, so running backs. There's been a lot of discussion about who's actually going to start here and who's going to actually be the lead back later in the year. It seems like Sean Shivers has kind of taken over the leadership role there. He's somehow the veteran of this group already. Seems like he's still a red shirt freshman. But
shout out to Ferg. Ferg's article today on the Auburn Observer, which I think everyone should have subscribed to by now, was excellent about how Sean Shivers has become the starter or the presumed starter.
Right.
And what that looks like and how Chad Morris is just thrilled about it.
Yeah. But so there's a decent chance he's the starter, but it seems like they're going to want to get into at least having three or four guys rotating through the carries. So, I mean, there's Mark Anthony Richards. There's been a lot of love around him. Tank Bigsby, the freshman. DJ Williams is the returning rusher from last year. So it seems like those four guys are going to be kind of whoever's the hot hand is probably going to be getting the most carries. And then there's the wild card of Harold Joyner, who's, by far the biggest running back in this group, but doesn't really have a defined role, I don't think. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's the wildcat guy. Who knows? And then the roundtable question we came up with this was pretty simple. Just who's going to be the leading rusher in 2020? Not necessarily the starter, but just the leading rusher.
At the time this article was written, I was leaning towards Tank Bigsby. I think Mark Anthony Richards has come on strong. Am I correct in saying that?
You said there's been a lot of hype around him. I think there was some carry on comparisons because of his ability to pass catch out of the backfield.
So it could be him. because he seems to be the most versatile, so you'd want to keep him on the field more right. often than everybody else. I don't think it'll be Shivers, because I just don't think you want him to carry the bulk of the load. Now, he may end up getting enough big runs that he ends up the leading rusher, so I don't know.
I think it's going to be Shivers, and I'll double down that I think he will lead in total yards as well.
Oh.
Because I think I've seen that he is also the leader in the clubhouse for kickoff return, and I think he's going to get a lot of chances to catch the rock.
Okay.
So I really think that he's going to have a ton of yards.
I'm really curious to see how Chad Morris utilizes the running backs in the pass game this year, because Auburn traditionally has been just screens.
Yeah. I mean,
there's different looks on how to set those screens up, but it's been screens for the running backs, nothing up the middle or wheel route or anything like that. Harold Joyner excluded. But it seems like they might try and involve them more on actual passing routes. I'm not sure who the favorite is to be running those plays, but I think it'll be a really interesting thing to keep an eye on this year.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Should be pretty fun to watch. A little return to the Al Borges West Coast days, huh?
Gulf Coast.
I see Cadillac and Ronnie Brown in this backfield, so.
Oh. Man, well, Cadillac's sort of back there.
He's back Cadillac's there.
He's running the show.
And Ronnie Brown's on the sideline.
That's true.
And, you know, with the way the article that Ferg wrote about Shivers, he's kind of like both of them combined.
Oh yeah,
man. I mean, he can run
in the size of Trey Smith.
Yeah, it's like a Caddy and Ronnie were put in Trey Smith's body.
Man, that's powerful.
Going to be scoring touchdowns and blocking punts all at the same time.
He is absurdly fast. I think is the thing about Shivers that comes across immediately is that.
I think
he's as fat. He should be a speed back. Yet, what Ferg makes the comment is that he doesn't know that. He thinks he is a power back, and plays that way, and that's what makes him so effective. Is that he's this little guy who's gonna hit you in the face.
Yeah, I do think though that they're gonna try to get him in as much space as they possibly can.
Yeah.
So
sure. His best carries last year seemed to be sweeps and, power, things not up the middle by any means.
I'm pretty sure that's what Chad Morris is licking his chops over, is that he's got this super fast guy that he can try to get the ball in space.
This is like the Marshawn Lynch quote where he talks about how he's just going to run through an MF for space. And then he says, over and 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 over again.
Wow. I'm looking at the article here, and Crow, I was surprised to see that your choice was DJ Williams, but then even more surprised that with 71 votes, he is also the reader favorite.
Yeah, I think a lot of people thought DJ Williams was going to come in and just be the best.
Well, he was my pick too. I mean, like I said, he's the returning rusher from last year, and that seems
Edrin
to be
James's nephew too. I think that's why I want him to be the guy, but it's not going to happen, I don't think.
The full quote from Marshawn Lynch is, "If you run through a mother effer's face, then you don't have to worry about them no more."
No, that's true.
Shivers did that in the Iron Bowl.
makes a great point.
He makes an excellent point. Thanks, Beast Mode.
What is going on with these? Is something cutting off here? I'm looking at the poll. The numbers have to be cutting off, because it says 8% Tank Bigsby with 41 votes, but then also 8% DJ Williams with 71 votes. So I think there's some numbers being cut off on my phone. Anyway, that's not important. We're not here to read an article.
Do you want to go to wide receivers?
Yes, sure. Do it.
Let's move on.
I think we've kind of talked a little bit that Shivers is the presumed favorite.
He'll be the first name on that depth chart that has and then everyone's the same or and it'll be like all six of them. So
everybody loves when Gus does that.
The good news is though we have six guys that could play. So
yeah. Let's take advantage of our position and revise the picks we may have made back in the summer, and other people don't get to see that, but. Other people don't get that opportunity.
Sure.
Leading rusher this year, I am going to go with Mark Anthony Richards at this point.
Yeah, I already said Shiver, so.
Yeah. I'm on Mark Anthony as well. He's gonna kill those yards like he helped kill Caesar. I don't know. Anyway.
Oh, I like what you're saying there. Yeah.
Seems like a really easy College of Mag history article for Crow there.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I got no idea what I'm writing about. So.
Wide receivers. This is just the question every year for Auburn wide receivers. Will there be a 1,000-yard receiver?
I say yes.
I don't know, man. That's 100 yards a game.
Again, I think it's going to have to be there will have to be postseason involved. That's more or less.
It only ever happened twice in Auburn history. Ronnie Daniels in 99 and Beasley in 1970. Darvin Adams had two seasons where he was over 960 yards, but didn't cross the 1,000-yard mark.
Huh.
Yeah. Daniels got just across it, but that would have only been a 12 game season. So, in 99. So, you know,
man, I don't know. That is a ton of yards, 100 yards a game, a lot that year too.
So
100 yards a game for an Auburn receiver is asking for the world.
Yes. Yeah. Well, especially now that it appears that maybe it's not just Seth Williams. We've got a 17-year-old, right? True freshman that is the talk of the town at the moment.
People seem to love him.
I assume he's 17 because he reclassified.
Right.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, is he supposed to be getting a bunch of playing time this year? I didn't go through the depth chart at that point, honestly.
Have you gone through the depth chart now that we're doing this podcast about it?
Hang on. Okay, so I'm going to make you guys mad again and actually use the wide receiver position names.
Oh,
okay. At split end, this is what Nerd put out about a month ago. Split in Seth Williams, Xavion Capers, freshman, and JJ Evans, another freshman.
You can use conditioner to get rid of that.
Yep.
At big slot. Plus. Big slot, Shedrick Jackson and Elijah Canyon.
Big slot, what a name.
They've got those up in the at the casino up right across the border in Oklahoma.
Mm.
Yeah, Tigers there too, don't they?
Yeah, it's just down the road, absolutely.
At the slot, you've got Eli Stove, the 18-year wide receiver.
I keep forgetting that Eli Stove is still around.
And then redshirt freshman Javarius Johnson and Kalen Newton. Can't wait to see him score a touchdown.
It's going to be awesome.
And at flanker, Anthony Schwartz, Kobe Hudson, and Malcolm Johnson Jr., the 17-year-old mentioned by Chief.
Yeah, what are the odds that when Kalen Newton scores a touchdown, he does the Superman thing? Is that 100% that he's going to do that?
Does he dab too?
Oh, gosh. I think if he dabs, he gets a flag. I think that would be considered dancing.
That's true. It's Malcolm Johnson Jr. that has been the talk of the fall camp here. And I believe there's some people starting to think that maybe he ends up with a starting spot.
That would be interesting. Because, even if you're saying Auburn starts four receivers, you assume Seth Williams, Anthony Schwartz, and Eli Stove are starting.
Sure.
And, Shedrick Jackson he's a junior at this point. He's kind of, without being an excellent playmaking wide receiver, he does everything else.
People love him.
I mean,
he should have had that catch in the Iron Bowl. That was a catch.
Just like most of our other positions, we're going to rotate these guys quite a bit, though. Yeah. Seth will be the one you see the most, and actually probably Stove. even more than Schwartz. But yeah, he's been getting talked up. So I guess, does that leave the big slot for him? Is that where he would go?
Yeah. Yep. That's the five, if you like to use the numbers.
Yeah, I prefer numbers.
The big slot.
Big slot. Man alive.
Well, it's a big slot.
Yeah, that, I mean, if we got production out of a 17-year-old, that'd be pretty awesome. He looks really big for a 17-year-old, though.
So. Listed at 6'1", 190.
Yeah.
Whoa.
He's solid.
Yeah.
Do you think he runs some double passes or just some wild trick plays with Kalen? He's wearing the number 23, the highest rated quarterback rating for any Auburn player ever, Ryan Davis. Same number.
I just
what is the over under on passes thrown by Kalen Newton? Is it five?
It's under.
Can we set that at five?
Yeah, let's set it at five. I'm gonna go under. I just think that there's gonna be a lot of people real hyped up about this kid, and I think you're setting yourself up for disappointment. I don't know how much action he's actually going to see. So,
well, I'm telling you right now, if Bo Nix goes down, that could be
that could be.
You
true.
Want a quarterback named Grant Loy or no. Kalen Newton?
Oh, I think he's the backup, but
the season's lost at that point anyway, so we may as well have fun with it.
True.
I don't know if the season's lost. Kalen Newton.
I think our offense is absolutely 1,000% different if Kalen Newton's the quarterback.
He also orchestrated the largest comeback or largest victory against the spread in the history of college football.
True.
You know that, Ryan? Did you know that?
I did. Do you know the teams there, Chris?
It was Las Vegas.
The Raiders?
Mm-hmm. No, the Rebels. UNLV. Versus his Howard Pirates.
I don't think that's quite right. Howard Bison?
They're the Pirates, are they not?
His helmet has a buffalo on it or a bison.
So. Oh, maybe so.
Those would be some awesome Pirates, though.
The Buffalo Pirates. The
Buffalo Pirates.
Bison Pirates. Okay. All right, next. What position we got next?
Actually, do you believe tight ends are real yet?
Let's take a quick break and we'll talk tight ends.
Okay.
And we're back at 33 minutes exactly into the pod. You've heard us talk running backs. You've heard us talk quarterbacks. But now we're going to talk about tight ends.
Well, I think we may have gotten to the position that will definitely keep us from having a 3,000-yard receiver.
Sure.
And that is tight end.
Unless first of all, you've heard us talk about big slots, and now we're talking about tight ends. This podcast is after dark.
It's been a long offseason, guys. Mm. So,
tight ends. Sorry, Lydia.
No, fine.
There's no starter here at all yet.
Yeah, we have no idea.
Yeah. There, I mean, it could be literally any of probably four guys. John Samuelshanker. Starting first baseman, played quite a bit of tight end last year. Mm-hmm. Luke Deal and Tyler Fromm both redshirted their freshman year last year. I think from what Nerd tells me, Deal's more of the blocking tight end and Fromm's more of a receiver. And then there's the absolutely giant freshman, Brandon Frazier. Committed to Arkansas under Chad Morris, came with him here. He is 6'7", 270.
Oof.
Man, a lot.
He could move, too. Another Texas kid. Girl ought to enjoy that.
Things bigger in Texas.
It'll be nice to see if Auburn can actually utilize him in the red zone. I mean...
Talking like a jumbo package?
Sure. I mean, I don't know. You've got Seth Williams, who's going to win a lot of one-on-one balls. But if you can put Brandon Frazier against, a linebacker or maybe even a nickel, who knows? I mean, it seems pretty easy to just throw one up for him.
Yeah, jump balls.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it.
So I think the round table question was over under 250 receiving yards for a single Auburn tight end. Not all of them, just one of them.
Oof.
I don't think
it's 25 yards a game.
Nerd says this hasn't happened. Auburn tight end hasn't had at least 200 yards since Lutzie back in 2011.
No, I'll go. Yeah. This may be the one most likely to happen with the 10-game schedule. It's 25 yards a game.
Yeah, but that's also 25 yards a game. And like Ryan said, it hasn't happened in ever.
10 years.
But I think I'm with Chief. I think if one game we get 100 yards receiving out of a tight end, that makes up for four games. That's pretty good.
Yeah. My math is right. Think about a wheel route. We hit one of those, you didn't have to catch another pass for.
I think about wheel routes all the time.
I guess there's the one guy I haven't mentioned who I don't know if we're classifying him as a tight end or an H-back or what.
Well, I think he graduated. Right? Sal?
No. J.J. Pegui, the 6'2", 300-pound freshman. Who I guess is just a tight end. No,
sure.
I don't know
what like a defensive tackle, like a nose guard.
I don't know what the plan is for him. I mean, he may not play at all this year. Who knows? I don't know. I'm kind of holding out hope for. I think that qualifies as a fat guy touchdown, right?
How big is he?
He's not a lineman.
He's a big boy.
It'd be perfect to. Yeah, you know, maybe in the Wildcat where they do a stacked line, he plays that tight end position that's actually in the left tackle spot.
Yeah. That's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Then Kalen Newton plays our Wildcat quarterback.
I'll just throw every quarterback we got out on the field at the same time.
See, I think that's a great idea, Chief.
Me too.
As long as Cord's getting snapped.
I didn't mean Cord. I meant Kalen and Bo.
Yeah, we're not playing assistant coaches.
Harold Joyner, right? not Cord. Don't we have a running back that was a quarterback?
Most likely.
DJ Williams.
Yeah, DJ. And DJ, throw him out there, too.
Let them all throw it.
Yeah.
It'll be like that. What high school was it? Was it Wetumpka that had that touchdown last week?
Oh, my gosh.
The 12-lateral game winner.
It's insane.
Oh, yeah. I actually know. I get this reference. I saw it on the Twitter.
Yeah.
It's a little too close to being recruiting talk for you there, Crow.
Yeah, it's also illegal. I believe there was at least one forward lateral. Like,
hey,
a fumble that was fumbled forward.
Any good hook and ladder has that.
True. Don't take this away from us, Crow.
From us. Don't take this away from us.
All right. So, are we all going over? I am.
Yeah.
Over, and who is your pick?
Ooh, like now that one's tough. Don't do that to me. I don't know. I don't think the big guy is going to have a lot of yards.
Yeah, and I'm not sure Schenker does either.
So
I mean, he was basically just a red zone pick.
So be Fromm, like I guess
that might make him an elite tight end if he gets 250.
Yeah, now I'm starting to doubt it. I don't know. I mean, but like I said, it's not really 25 yards a game if you even like 60 in a couple of games, and you're halfway there. So,
and like Ryan said, just think about
Frazier. I think he becomes a big threat later in the season.
Okay. I think we're going to be throwing a lot of passes to these guys.
Yeah. So,
I mean, 25 yards is not a lot. That's what? Five-yard gains. So, it's not really.
Hopefully, Bo's average is a little higher than 5 yards, though. Grow?
Yes.
And who is it?
Oh, gosh.
Do you need to list names again?
The giant guy.
Is it because he's from Texas?
Well, yeah, and also the idea of just this giant monster running around with the ball.
He sounds like Mike Evans, to be honest.
It's
bigger than that. I mean,
I would like
70? Man.
270 is just monstrous.
I mean, Mike Evans was a monster, dude. Like, he's like 6'7", like 250. Like, he was big.
The idea of
Texas A&M, Mike Evans?
Yes.
Behemoth. Rumbling around with the ball in his hand, just knocking safeties into next week.
Except this guy has played football before. Mike Evans is not. He's 6'5",
230 for Mike Evans.
Okay, so he's pretty big. Our guy's a little bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give me the our guy. And
our guy's a little bigger.
I would say yes. So.
All right. Anything else on tight ends?
I assume that they're real now. We'll see.
Just assuming.
We will see.
All right. We can go to offensive line now. The question was pretty simple. It was just pick the offensive line. Mm-hmm. And most of the battles seem to be set at this point. I mean, maybe the left side of the offensive line isn't quite set. Nick Broms is going to be your starting center. We know that. And it seems like through camp,
Troxel's
Brandon Council's got the right guard spot, the transfer from Akron, the Terry Bowden recruit.
That's right.
And right tackle, it's not a slur. I think it's Rodarius Ham. Well, Broham.
Troxel's got left tackle too, right?
I don't think that's a done deal yet. It seems like Alec Jackson, another former defensive lineman turned offensive lineman, is giving a pretty good battle. Sounds like they've been splitting reps with the first team. I still think it's Troxel to lose, but we'll see with that. Yeah, and then at left guard, I think it's Tayshaun Manning and Keandre Jones there.
Okay.
What was the roundtable article question?
It was just, who do you think is the starting offensive line?
Oh, I don't. I think now we kind of know what it is. Yeah. So that's a dumb question.
Yeah, we're pretty close to knowing what it is. But so I guess, I mean, do we expect them to be as good as last year? Worse? Yes. Better.
Better.
Yeah.
Better. They cannot.
I like using the word good.
Yeah. Good. They can't be worse, I don't think, than what we've...
Man, I don't know. Have you seen what Florida State's trotted out there the last couple of years?
Well, that's true.
They just lost to Georgia Tech last week.
I say that hypothetically. I actually haven't watched a single Florida State game, so I've just been told it's better.
There was the time they should have lost to Samford, maybe last year, 2 years ago.
Yeah, right. I think they'll be better. I think they're gonna be better coached.
I think they'll be more properly utilized.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like they're going with an offensive line that can run block. And that's probably for the better. I mean, I hate to be the 80-year-old Auburn fan that says Auburn has to run up the middle every play. But Auburn thrives on establishing the run. I mean, it's the truth. With the running back group we've got, that's probably the best way to go.
Not the most advanced stat-friendly take, Ryan.
Well, not running the ball up the middle every time, but just establishing the run.
I mean, running on first down is kind of shown to be kind of the dumbest move from an expected yards to gain stat standpoint. Running on first down is like the dumbest move from math, as far as
math,
other than an incomplete pass.
Or even punt. That, your expected yards on a pass play are always higher than.
Well, sure, but. You don't get those when it's incomplete.
Well, you don't get them when you run first and 10 and you get 1 yard.
Or lose a yard. Like,
yeah, I mean, that's the whole equation. It's like, if I'm averaging 8 yards a pass, I should pass it when I need 8 yards. If I'm averaging 4 yards a run, I should run it only when I need four yards. This is my 3 is better than 2. Mm-hmm. Take.
Man, somebody should hire you, girl.
I'm, you know, I'm always willing to do some contracting work for people when it comes to status to statistics.
Yeah, I think they'll be better than last year. If only because I trust that the offense in general is in better hands. You know, maybe don't have Bo try and throw deep balls all game. Some quicker passes for a young quarterback.
Yeah, I think we're going to throw more high percentage stuff. So
I just want to get the ball to Anthony Schwartz as much as possible. Like, he needs at least 8 touches a game, I think.
Yeah, it'll be nice with not having to play with a cast on his hand this year. So
we throw to him anyway.
Yeah, no.
All right, defensive line. Ryan, tell me what we got to do. We're 45 minutes into this battle.
All Let's right, yeah, going. We'll speed it up. The defense is pretty easy because, you know, we all love the defense. Pretty simple. Who's going to lead the team in sacks this year?
Ooh.
Big Cat Bryant. Next question.
that seems like a safe bet. Yeah,
Big Cat's probably starting at the defensive end spot where Marlon played last year.
Who's starting at Buck?
That's still unknown. T.D. Moultrie and Derek Hall are kind of the two choices right now. They've been talking up T.D. Moultrie like he's maybe finally figured out how to not jump off sides, which would be huge. That's what kills us, is he is a productive player, but he commits too many penalties to keep on the field.
Yeah.
Like he was in the backfield a lot last year, but half the time it was before the ball was snapped. Defensive tackle, you've got Tyrone Truesdale and Daquan Newkirk are probably going to be the two starters. Condis Miller, of course, off the team. There's a couple of JUCOs that, you know, backing them up with Marquise Burks and Trey Butler.
It's a little scary.
Yeah, the depth there is not great, but it seems like they've been moving a lot of guys across the line.
Yeah.
You might see guys like Jay Hardy playing tackle.
We like to rotate those guys so much,
right?
Games that not having depth is a little scary. That's all. Yeah.
If there's any position group I trust, it's Garner with the defensive line.
Sure. So.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Are we all going Big Cat? I'm going to go Moultrie.
Yeah, I was thinking. Whoever started at Buck might be. Might be the choice there. So I guess I'll go Moultrie if that's who we think starting there.
So I'm the only one going Big Cat.
Well, it makes sense.
Right. You got to sit in your wrongness. Be wrong.
Well, apparently you guys, when you wrote this article, were picking a bunch of linebackers to win.
Yeah, so. I did pick KJ Britt.
KJ
Britt is going to be the first round pick.
KJ Britt and Popo are both...
I cannot be trusted to know what I wrote about in the summertime, nor know what I was writing about at the time.
And
Drew, usually I don't think you submitted anything for this article, so it's okay.
Yeah, and if I had, I would have seen what nerd said, and I would have said the same thing.
Well, I have Will McLaughlin, Dr. McLaughlin, McLaughlin, no, whatever. McLaughlin, like Lori Loughlin, but
Lori McLaughlin, McLaughlin.
Is the only guy that picked Big Cat Bryant in this article, which is interesting. Nerd, so you want to know who to go with, Crow. Nerd says Derek Hall. So,
the other option of Buck.
Yes. I'm just going to say whoever gets the most snaps at Buck is gonna be the winner.
Whoever gets to the quarterback the most.
Yeah.
It's X.
Now we're talking. All right. Defensive. No, linebackers.
Linebackers. Everyone's favorite group. So we're down Chandler Wooten at this point. He's taking the year off. KJ Britt, Zakobe McClain, Owen Papo. Only two are going to be on the field at the time, most of the time, but they're essentially all three starters. There's a group of freshmen that will probably back him up, but honestly, those three will see the majority of the snaps. Crow asked us, will Auburn have the best linebacker corps in the SEC?
Yeah.
I asked you that?
Sorry, Nerd asked us that.
Oh, man, that was a good question, Crow.
Yeah, I think so.
Without Wooten there, it makes it tougher. But with Wooten, like, absolutely, that's a super deep room. Even without him, I would say, yeah, that's those are three studs. Ricochet Rabbit is a stud. OP is a stud. I mean, this is a no-brainer to me. Yeah, OP might lead the team in sacks as well as interceptions, as far as I'm concerned.
I wonder if that's ever happened on just like anywhere, any team.
I know that Carlos Dansby led the team in interceptions 1 year.
So yeah, I believe that sounds.
I don't know if he led the team in sacks, though. That was 03, I think. He led the team in picks.
Ryan, I wish you could have seen Carlos Dansby play.
That was before you were born, though.
It was.
Dansby's a shortstop. I don't know what y'all are talking about.
Jesus.
Carlos Dansby, Ryan, was an Auburn linebacker who was on the wasted team of 2003.
He was like 6'4", and looked. It was wild seeing a guy that tall out there playing linebacker and being so dang good at it.
He was recruited as a wide receiver, and then I guess went to Cracker Barrel a bunch of times being a linebacker. I don't know how that worked out.
Yeah, I did not follow recruiting then, so I don't even know how he ended up at linebacker. But buddy, he was good and fun, just fun to watch. Fun seeing a guy that looked like him out there like that. Tall guy.
What was the question, Ryan?
Is Auburn going to have the best linebacker core in the SEC?
Yes.
The ACC? Next. Yes.
The Sun Belt
if you
Conference?
Have the best linebacker core in the SEC, you probably have the best linebacker core in the country, yeah. Right? Yeah.
I would assume so.
Let's move to the secondary.
Yeah.
So we actually, I'm looking, I don't remember if we did a roundtable article for the secondary.
I don't think
you did. Because I can't find one.
Come on, dog.
Shame on nerd. But
that's the most position-filled position, too.
That's the most crow thing nerd's ever done is start a
We got five guys playing in the secondary.
Actually, that's a super stare at move is start a weekly column that you just give up like 3 weeks in. Yeah. I want to know more about that stare at score, Ryan. I like that column. And you just quit doing it.
I tried it for like 3 or 4 years and just, man, so much work.
Yeah. And then it's kind of like I did the weird article where I would post the obscure stats. And then I realized that Josh Dubb exists. And I was doing all this work, and he was doing it so much better than I am.
College of Mag might exist as a way to point Auburn fans towards other Auburn content creators who are doing great things.
Yeah, exactly.
Content aggregator.
Yeah, there we go.
We're like Tumblr.com, or we're like Auburn Pinterest. Pinterest. So, yeah, Ryan, Tumblr was a social network that existed for a while. That people just posted porn and weird photos of sunsets on.
It's just the internet, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Tumblr was just the internet distilled.
So
secondary. In the secondary, looking at Roger McCreary and unknown starting at the other corner spot. Sounds like they've been rotating a bunch of guys through there. Devin Barrett might show up there, former running back, former receiver. Marco Domeo and Nehemiah Pritchett, both options. I think Domeo is the JUCO transfer. Christian Tutt kind of has the nickel locked up, I think. And then at safety, it's Jamin Sherwood and Smoke Monday, and probably Jordan Peters is that extra guy that can play all the positions in the secondary.
We're okay, even though we have lost some people, right?
Yeah, I mean, lost a lot of talent, but good thing is a lot of these guys have
played a lot last year. So
yeah, I mean, McCreary played starter snaps last year, and he was as efficient as Ibnagani was, and as Jarvis Davis. I'm not too worried about him. I think it's the other corner spot that. I just don't really know what we're going to get.
I wonder if we're going to get Peters there just because he's played.
Yeah. Special team star.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think what will help our secondary the most is if we can get a consistent pass rush this year.
Yeah.
Because as great as the defensive front was in the last 2 years, that's what they've been missing since Jeff Holland left.
Yeah. So we're going to get, and we're going to need TD and Hall in that backfield a lot.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
Good thing is we're playing two teams that do not want to pass the ball to start the year.
That's hard. That's interesting about Kentucky not wanting to pass the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it throws me off. I think of Kentucky as...
Well,
they're not shooting it, passing the football. So.
Stoops is he's part of the... He's off as a little branch off the air raid tree. So
he's
a
defensive guy, though, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
But
no, he's not. His brother was the defensive guy, right? And his brother got fired by his other brother, Bob.
Yes.
Mike.
Yeah, yes. Mark Stoops was a DB coach at Florida State, Arizona, Miami, Houston, Wyoming, South Florida, and Nordonia High School.
But then Mike Stoops was the one that just was recently fired by OU.
Right. So they were both defensive.
Okay. He was never a defensive coordinator? He was just a DB coach, and they hired him as their head coach?
Looks like he was DC and DB at Florida State.
Okay. Interesting. Under
Bobby. It would have been 2010 to 2012.
Right. Okay. All right.
All right. We don't have a hypothetical.
We don't really have a question, DB. So we can just...
All right. Here's my question. Over under 5 team interceptions for Auburn this year. That is one every other game.
Surely over.
Ryan, how many interceptions did we have last year?
Push.
That's what I'm looking for.
I'm going 5 on the
last year. It was like an obscenely low number.
It wasn't a lot.
Yeah, it was. We got like 3 in one game, and that was it.
Last year, we had 2, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Okay. So over.
Well, I mean, you think about it. We had 2 of them in the Iron Bowl.
Right. So.
We also played 13 games last year.
I'm still playing Alabama again.
And hey, Mac Jones still their quarterback.
Who got those in the Iron Bowl? Huh?
It's Jacoby McClain.
There we go.
Christian Tutt.
Yeah.
2018, Auburn had 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 interceptions.
Okay. So maybe I'll change my over-under.
So, say 10, I think. Like
10. Okay.
You're thinking of 2017 when Auburn had 6 interceptions.
Yeah, I think that's cool.
All right, over-under 10 picks for the Auburn Tigers this year.
It's one a game.
I'll go under 10.
I'll go with the push still. We'll just 10 flat.
I'm going to go with over. I think this is the year I think Owen Papo has a ton of picks from the linebacker spot. I think he's just a freak.
Why are you so high on him getting picks?
Because I think people are going to be fooled into thinking they've got a linebacker on a running back and throw a lot of picks.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Though he is a linebacker. I feel like he's
makes sense.
A little faster than most.
Yeah.
All right, guys. What else we got?
Do you care about the specialists?
Nah.
Okay, sure. Well, we don't have any hypotheticals for them.
How many 50-yard field goals does Anders have to kick this year?
Jeez. I hope zero, but I would imagine.
None. We're not kicking field goals. We're just kicking extra points. There you
go. Go for it all the time.
Oh, man. What's going to be more? The number of 50-yard field goals Anders has to attempt, or the number of passes thrown by someone other than Bo Nix?
Oh.
Auburn's going to blow out a couple teams, so I'm going to say the passes by non-Bo.
Yeah, passes, not Bo passes.
Auburn blowing out?
The Mississippis?
Arkansas. Man, I hope so in Arkansas. That'd be great.
Honestly, Arkansas, Bo might play that whole game just for the fun of it. But I'd be going for the 70.
You got to think, we may not so few games. I don't know. I think we have to be killing, like, absolutely hammering somebody like 45-0.
But I mean, think about it early up in the season. If, you know, there's red shirts aren't a thing this year, everybody's essentially redshirting.
Yeah.
If it's true. If Auburn's up 30 on Kentucky in the fourth quarter, do you put the backup in to say, hey, Joe gets COVID, we need to get this guy some snaps?
Yeah.
But I don't think Auburn's going to be by 30 against Kentucky. I'm more concerned that Auburn's going to win that game by 5.
I'm more worried about it than maybe any other game. But I guess we'll discuss that next week.
Good tease, Chief. And with that, we're out of here.
Bo knows.